We've been studying church history and the high cost of liberty in this country, the high cost of liberty. And I've been reading from the History of the Baptist by John T. Christian, one of the most substantial history books that I've ever studied. He has a lot of cross-references to other history books, and many times historians are not accurate. If you look in America today and you see the history of America, you'll see a great influence. And history, many times, is written by the victors, not the victims. And the Baptist people were victims all the way through history. They were victims. They came to America from Germany, from Russia, from Wales, from Ireland, and many places, England. And they met persecution here, heavy persecution. The American colonies did not understand anything but church-state marriages. The church and the state were one. The Protestant world had come out of Catholicism, and Catholicism that was church and state. When Muhammad's religion was evolving, they realized that the best way to do things was to have a church state. That way you can force people to become adherents and converts or die. In America, it wasn't anything different than that. The Salem witch trials were a horrible thing. Cotton Mather and his absolute insidious hatred toward Baptists and Quakers. Now, some of the Quakers later became Baptists. They had Seventh-day Quakers. They had First-day Quakers. They had Seventh-day Baptists. And many of the Quakers finally converted to Baptist because they studied the Bible. When you study the Bible, you have not much more leniency in the Word of God than to believe a basic biblical stance, which is what Baptist churches have stood for ever since the seashores of Galilee. Well, when they came to America, there were some outstanding leaders, Dr. John Clark, in Rhode Island. They founded the state of Rhode Island, the colony of Rhode Island. They petitioned the King of England that they would have religious liberty, that even a person didn't have to believe in God if they didn't want to. In that colony, you could be a Catholic, you could be a Presbyterian, you could be whatever you want to, but you couldn't persecute other people. The Catholics persecuted, the Presbyterians persecuted, the Puritans heavily persecuted. They were persecutors. Even the Quakers, when they got in control, did a little bit of persecuting. But the Baptists, it is said in history, they were the only ones that did not persecute other religions at all. Baptists, you're a Baptist because, well, your daddy might have been a Baptist, your mommy, your grandmother, grandfather, whatever, okay? And maybe you just hatched as a Baptist, so to speak. But most people that go from other churches into Baptist ranks go there by conviction. The Bible convicted them to believe in the autonomy of each New Testament church under Jesus Christ, that no church answers to another one. It's congregational rule. I have seen large churches, Southern Baptist churches, that become basically Presbyterian rule instead of congregational rule. You have your Bible Baptist, or you have basically the preacher says that I'm called to God here, and I'm going to make all the decisions, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's a Bible what they call a Bible Baptist is a preacher-run church. That's the way it is. All of these different entities and different kinds and shades of Baptists that come down through the ages, you go back down till you come to the foundational ones. We had Dr. John Clark, and we had Roger Williams, and we have Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes was beaten. Beaten. For preaching the gospel. Several others, their bail was paid and their fines were paid. They fined him for preaching the gospel. And he wouldn't allow anybody to pay his fine, and so they took him out and beat him, basically with a cat of nine tails. I couldn't sleep on his back for quite a while. But while he's being beaten, he said the God of heaven protected his pain. He said it was like you were beating me with rose petals. Now, I want to surprise you a little bit. One of my students is, well, I've got a lot of brilliant students. Sharon is one of them. Roger Breschen, Ken Blinn have been, these are tremendously brilliant students. Cindy, one of my students that was a professor, she was really a brilliant student. And Donald Grewar in Wales. I mean, my students go all over the world, from New Zealand to Australia to wherever. China, Japan, wherever. When I was studying church history, I learned this many years ago, 50 years ago. But I had just kind of laid it aside in my mind for a long time. Now I want to read something to you about Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes was born in 1610. He died in 1682. He married Catherine Hyde, and she was born in 1608 died in 1682. Lydia Holmes, 1637, and married Captain John Brown. And he lived from 1630 to 1684, and Lydia lived up to 1693. Their offspring was Sarah Brown. Sarah Brown was 1669 and to 1714. She married Richard Salter, 1669 to 1728. Hannah Salter, their child, their offspring, 1692 to 1727. She married Mordecai Lincoln, 1686 to 1736. Virginia John Lincoln, 1716 to 1788, married Rebecca Flowers. She's 1720 to 1806. Now, Captain Abraham Lincoln, 1744 to 1786, married Bathsheba Herring, 1750 to 1836. Thomas Lincoln, this ought to be getting more, you ought to know where we're going now. Thomas Lincoln was born in 1778 to 1851, and he married Nancy Hanks. And she lived from 1784 to 1818. Abraham Lincoln, 1809 to 1865. Abraham Lincoln's great, 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 great grandfather was Obadiah Holmes. Now, America was thrown into a civil war with Abraham Lincoln over states' rights. Did he forget what his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was beaten for and some of his people died for? You go back all the way back to Abraham Lincoln now, and you go back to Obadiah Holmes. Those people were standing for religious liberty and states' rights. The Civil War was started over states' rights, not slavery at all. Zero. It had nothing, slavery had nothing to do with the Civil War, when the Civil War started. Abraham Lincoln, in his inaugural address, basically declared war on the South. He said, if you secede from the Union, and the Union was a voluntary thing. The states decided whether they would be part of the Union or not all the time. They respected the Union, but the Union was not their God. Now, I know a lot of you don't know the history of Abraham Lincoln. Of course, that's a long time. Abraham Lincoln's father or parents were what we call Separatist Baptist or Southern Baptist. The Southern Baptists were the South. The conservative America was the South. The Northern was the, of course, like today, the liberal, the what we might call the progressives. When Abraham Lincoln became president, many of the states seceded from the Union because they knew his fans. They wanted to be left alone. They offered to pay for all of the Union Army posts in their states, pay them back. 70% of all the tax income was coming from the South, not the North. And after the Civil War, even though he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation as a war measure only, for a reason to be fighting the war, 750,000 men died. And when William Tecumseh Sherman and Grant declared all-out war on the South, they went in and started killing all of the, what we might call the civilians, non-combatants. You know, that's against what we might call the Geneva Rules of War. They declared all that war. They went into the South. They went into the Shenandoah Valley. You watch ever the movie Shenandoah with James Stewart in it. Grant and Sherman went to all of Georgia. They went to the Shenandoah Valley and killed every dog, horse, cow, sheep, and goat. And any non-combatant that would complain. If they went out there and they burned their homes down, they burned all their fields, they burned all their fences, they burned it all. Anybody that objected died. Non-combatant. Did Abraham Lincoln forget what his great-grandfather had done? What his people had stood for? All the way down through there. Did he forget? Later on, yes, they did free the slaves to some extent, but the nation was completely divided, as divided as it is today. With the election of Biden, the nation of America divided. Again. Now we're fighting again another civil war, politically. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but it is politically a civil war. We are in a lot of trouble. Did Abraham Lincoln forget his heritage? You know that he completely confiscated all of the editors in the North now, not in the South. He didn't have any. He couldn't do anything in the South yet. But every editor in the North that wrote against him was immediately arrested. Without habeas corpus, without even a warrant. They confiscated all of their equipment and everything. Anybody that liked CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, anybody that would say something good about him, they got paid. They got built up. That's what happens. See, history repeats itself. History repeats itself. Here we all way back then, long time ago, this happens. And now it's happening again. We didn't learn the lesson. Did Abraham Lincoln learn the lesson from his Obadiah Holmes and all of those? Look, let me read his ancestors again. Obadiah Holmes, Lydia Holmes, Sarah Brown, Hannah Salter, Virginia John Lincoln, Captain Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Lincoln, and then Abraham Lincoln. They were killing people. America was a battlefield. People were dying. Everybody suffered death in their family. Everybody suffered death. There was no freedom of speech. He just nullified the First Amendment in the North. Some bad things happened back then. You know, you can't, when you raise your children as best as you can. You give them the best life you can. That's what you ought to do, and that's what you should do. And then you hope that those children, if you do the right thing, you hope that the children remember what you did. And how they lived and how they spent their lives. Abraham Lincoln, we're going all the way from 1610 now, all the way down to 1809 when he was born. Did he study history? He studied a lot of the masters, or the great, what they call the classics. But did he study how America was founded, what it was founded upon, how much it cost our forefathers to have freedom of speech, to have religious liberty in this country? Now they want freedom from religion, not freedom of religion. No other denomination in America gave you freedom of religion and free speech. In those two things, they are so tied together. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion are very closely tied together. Baptist Obadiah Holmes was arrested for preaching the gospel and then beaten. His property was confiscated. Many of these people had to finally leave. They were exiled out of the states that they were in, the colonies they were in, into the wilds. Roger Wiggum was exiled. He went and lived with Indians. They were his friends. Otherwise, he'd have been a victim. They asked him later in his life, they said, well, you've been done really well. You know, I mean, you've always defended us and all of this. You always defended the cause of the colonies and everything. You can come back as long as you don't preach. You can come back as long as you don't preach. Preaching is, the gospel is very important. On page 58, it says, Massachusetts was not satisfied with persecution of its own account, but they wanted the other states surrounding them to persecute the Baptists. There was an anti-Baptist. Remember, I told you that if you were a Baptist or a Quaker, if when you preached the gospel, you had an ear cut off. You were maimed. You had an ear cut off to show that you were preaching what was not allowed. If you kept on preaching, they pulled your tongue out and they took a hot, like an ice pick, and stuck through your awl and stuck it through your tongue. Burned it all the way through your tongue. You were put in stocks. Baptists always dipped for baptism because baptizo in the Greek means to dip, to immerse. Some of the dunking chairs that they had out there, and these are the Puritans, by the way, doing all of this. They would go out there and they would put a Baptist in a dunking chair and they would put him down, they put him under the water out in the river, maybe an icy river, and they put him under the water until the bubbles quit coming up. They take it back up and they pull him out of the water and they say, are you ready to repent and recant your religion and not preach? And they would say, no, I must preach what the Bible teaches. So they just kept on doing that, but there was no bubbles come up. They put them in stocks. They put them in stocks. They arrest them like criminals. I read you some accounts of this, where all this happened. Some of the whole churches from Wales came to America. Whole churches, the Welsh Tract Church, they came to America. Obadiah Holmes, when he was beaten, there was a president of Harvard University. His name was Dunstan, Henry Dunstan. Henry Dunston, when he saw that, he converted to Baptists. He said this man was beaten for preaching, and he knew the Bible, and all of a sudden, all the Bible fell in place. He said, this is the whole story. This is the religion of the apostles. Not Catholicism, it's not Puritanism, not Presbyterian, it's not these other Protestant religions that came out of the Catholic Church protesting. The Baptists always protested the Catholic Church, just verbally only. They didn't try to kill any of them. Every time a Presbyterian, a Puritan, a Quaker even, or a Catholic has control, legal control over a colony or any place in America or in South America, Central America, or wherever, they persecute other Christians or other religious groups. Baptists have never persecuted people. And if you're a Baptist, real Baptist, don't persecute other people. You can preach all you want against them. But never, never, when you get in power, persecute other religions. Obadiah Holmes' family come on all the way down to Abraham Lincoln now. Mm-hmm. Abraham Lincoln lost the baton. He lost the baton. We'll study more about him. We've already done some things about two messages I did on the President of the United States and how they affected the world. America religiously affected the world greatly. Many missionaries went out from here throughout the world. I want to thank you for putting up with me. I haven't done much preaching in the last 3 weeks because of COVID. I really need your prayer still. I've got to go to the doctor tomorrow. I've got to go through a blizzard 75 miles one way to go to the doctor and see how my lungs are and if I got blood clots in my legs or whatever. I appreciate your prayers for that. And thank you for your support. We still need it. Thank you for your prayers. We need them all the time. Marilyn went through COVID pretty fast because she was vaccinated all the way up to date. And she was uncomfortable, but it lasted about 3 days. And of course, the effects of it lasted more days than that. But she basically had COVID about 3 days. I had it about 6 days. I had one vaccination over 2 years ago, and it liked to kill me. Actually, the vaccination was worse than the COVID that I just went through. But maybe it curbed it to some extent. I don't know. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. Help us remember what our people died for, what they stood for, what they lived for. From your word, Father, we do these things for your honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray.